comes to mind when you hear the word generosity? Maybe you have a friend who is always thinking of other people, bringing them meals when they're sick, always volunteering to drive their kids' friends to dance or hockey, volunteering with local charities or nonprofits. Maybe it's a teacher who was always generous with their time, no staying after school or giving up their lunch hour to give extra help to students. Maybe it's your own single parent who worked multiple jobs to put food on the table, but still always made time to be at every one of your school events and to give back to the community. For me, that person is my mother-in-law, Peggy. Her husband died unexpectedly of a heart attack at the age of 63. So Peter, my husband, and I, we moved our family into her home to help her out for a while. Well, I say for a while, but we still live there today. So for the past 22 years, I've had the privilege of watching generosity lived out through her life. She was generous with her time, always willing to drive someone to an appointment they needed to get to, or to take them for groceries or pick them up for church. She was generous with her finances, living simply so that she could help someone buy their groceries or give support to a local organization and financially support the mission of the church. She gave freely of her encouragement, humor, her hospitality. She was basically willing to give all that she had for the sake of others. We have this kind of running joke in our family because her car is always full of stuff, toilet paper, paper towel, groceries, just things that she thinks that other people could need, and she always wants to have it on hand. So her trunk is always full. The dictionary defines generosity as showing a readiness to give more of something than is necessary or expected. More than is necessary or expected. So just based on that definition alone, how generous would you say that you are? Some of you are incredibly generous. You are so generous that you actually don't think you are generous enough. Some of you would like to believe that you're generous, but the truth is, you really land more in that give what is necessary category. So what makes some people more generous than others? Now, some of you might think that it's someone who has a lot of money or has a lot of stuff, that they can be generous. But true generosity isn't giving out of abundance. It's giving out of gratitude for what God has given to us. I recently had this really great opportunity to attend a gathering for pastors from the United States, from Australia, from the UK and Canada. And it was hosted by Alpha, which has to be one of the most generous organizations that I have ever had the privilege of being part of. Their love and care for local church leaders and their passion to see the local church supported and resourced to spread the good news of who Jesus is unparalleled. And they are such a blessing to us. Now, during this gathering, there was one evening after supper where we were invited to kind of a bit of a meet and greet. And so there were all the pastors from the visiting countries or local and international Alpha staff members. And when we walked into the building, there was music playing in the background and everything was lit up for this sort of party atmosphere. And there were tables after tables of food, meats and cheeses, crackers and breads, fruits and vegetables, pastries and ice cream even. It was way more food than we could have ever eaten. Not only that, but there were lots of people around just waiting to serve you, to make sure that you had everything that you needed. I actually put my glass down at one point to take a picture, and when I came back, someone had already cleaned it all up. The way that they cared for us was extraordinary. And here's the thing. When you are hosted by someone that generous, You don't have to worry about your needs. You can just enjoy yourself and focus on the people around you. And that's exactly what a good host wants for their guests. They just want them to enjoy themselves and not be worried about something that they might need or want. Now, as you read through the story of humanity in the Bible, God is depicted as this same kind of generous host, one who provides for our needs. Creation itself is an expression of God's generous love. He creates this intricate world of beauty and abundance and opportunity. And then he hosts humans as his guests, providing everything that we could ever need. Fruit trees and vegetable plants, the sun and the rain, even the waves that crash across the sandy shoreline. Trees that tower toward the sun, painted fluffy clouds that float in the sky. All these are part of God's abundant creation. And right from the very beginning, God demonstrates his extravagant generosity towards us by hosting us. But is that how you would say you currently experience the world? Abundance and opportunity? I'd say it feels a bit more like scarcity and struggle at the best of times, particularly right now in our world with rising interest rates and the ever-increasing cost of living, gun violence, wars. There doesn't seem to be anything generous and abundant about the world that we are currently experiencing. But this experience isn't unique to us. Jesus grew up in a similar environment, under military occupation, families unable to pay their debts, losing their land and being forced into poverty, living under the oppression of the Roman government. But even in the midst of his lived experience, Jesus says this to his followers: "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" Now, some people hear these words and they feel comfort. They're comforted by God's love and provision for them. Others immediately start to think of the dead bird they saw the other day on the side of the road and wonder how that fits into Jesus' picture of divine generosity. Now, Jesus was obviously aware of the suffering and death that pervades our world. He was unjustly arrested and crucified. But even in the scarcity, Jesus encouraged his followers to trust that God is generous because he viewed the world through the story of the Hebrew scriptures, or what we have come to know as the Old Testament, which taught that our scarcity problem, it isn't actually because we lack resources. It's not because God's provision isn't generous and abundant. It's because of our mindset that maybe God can't be trusted. Maybe he's holding out on us. That there's a chance that there really isn't enough for everyone. So we need to take control and look after ourselves. And it's that scarcity mentality that drives us to focus on taking care of ourselves before anyone else. And this mindset motivates wars and division, anger and violence, because it becomes deeply ingrained in people that there isn't enough and we need to fight for what we believe should be ours. But that is not the human experience God desires for us. He wants us to experience his generosity. But as you follow the biblical narrative, you see that over and over and over again, God pours out his generous abundance on his people, providing them with everything they need. And all that he is asking for in return was that they would trust his generosity. And through them, then the world would see just how generous God the host really is. But of course, that's not what happened. God's people, the Israelites, they enter the abundant land that God had generously given to them, and they very quickly forget the host. They forget who gave it to them. That scarcity mentality and entitlement begins to creep in, and eventually it leads to war and the self-destruction of God's chosen people. So let's just go back to that meet and greet party for a second. Imagine if we had entered into this party, this meet and greet, and instead of enjoying the host's generosity and honoring them for the abundant way that they were caring for us, we actually started to kind of hoard all that amazing meat and cheese and bread, or we blocked the entry so that no one else could come in and take what we had. How would you feel if you were the host? You prepared this for all these people. Like, I know what I would do. I'd kick them out immediately, and I would not let them back in. Now, I'm sure that most of you would be far more gracious than I would have been in that situation. But as the host, I want people to feel cared for and appreciated. I don't want them to worry about if there is enough food or enough drinks. I want them to just enjoy my gift. So if you are stopping my guests from receiving that blessing, I want you out of there as soon as possible. But fortunately, that's not God's character. And instead of just giving up on his people, he does something really remarkable. He expresses his generosity with the most incredible, undeserved, unexpected gift. He gives the gift of himself. Jesus, the host himself, comes to join in on that meet and greet gone wrong. Jesus is generous. He lived with the conviction that there is always enough and that our generous host can be trusted. His grace moved him beyond giving what was necessary to providing the unexpected, light instead of darkness, blessing instead of curse, life instead of death. His mindset of abundance allowed him to live sacrificially and generously even towards his enemies. His was a generous love that compelled a generous sacrifice for our benefit. And Jesus calls his followers to trust God's abundance just like he did. He said things like, sell your possessions and give to the poor, or don't worry about your life. He is inviting his followers to live a different way, to live with an abundance mindset, to write a different story that is built on trust in God's goodness and generosity. So it's not really surprising then that when Jesus describes life in his kingdom, we're given under his rule and his reign, we're given this vision of this type of generosity, a generosity of love, of grace, of forgiveness, even toward our enemy. After all, isn't that what Jesus gave us? Because while we were still sinners, enemies of God, Jesus died for us. And when that overwhelming sacrifice for us actually takes root in our church, in our community, in a person, our hearts should just be overflowing with generosity. You know, churches talk about being generous with our time, treasure, and our talents. Now, I think it's because preachers can't resist a good alliteration, but these days, I've actually been compelled by a grander vision of Christian generosity. And it's a vision of Jesus, the one who was rich that became poor, so that we actually might participate in the riches of God. It's a vision of generosity that is captured in this quote. The generous life starts when it hurts to give, when one moves in the direction of poverty in order to make someone else rich. What would it look like to participate in God's kingdom with this astonishing generosity. To be the people of God who reflect the generosity of Jesus here in our own church and also in our community, in our town. To be generous with our love and forgiveness towards the hardest people to love and forgive. What would it look like to be generous with our welcome to a stranger? Our welcome to someone who feels like they're on the outside? Or to be generous with our faith, with our gifts, to be generous with our finances, and most importantly, to be generous with the message of the gospel, the good news of who Jesus is. What could it look like? Because Jesus is calling us to be radically generous people in every area of our lives. Do you want to see more of heaven come to earth, more of the rule and reign of Jesus? Do you want to see lives transformed and changed? Then we have to join Jesus in revealing the good and beautiful God who is generous and loving. And how do we do that? Simple. Live a generous life. It's actually our responsibility to astonish those around us with our generosity, leaving them almost dumbfounded, flabbergasted for any sort of rationale as to why this is happening. We can't only be good to those who are good to us. To follow Jesus, our generosity must flow to the very people that we don't even actually want to be generous to. Generosity is not just a strategy for adding some kindness to the world. It's a strategy for transforming the world. It's a revolutionary strategy. It's not just about making the world a better place. It's about making the world new, participating in God's renewal, in God's kingdom work here on earth. Generosity is not just about making people think that Christians are nice. It's about helping people see that God is good, compassionate, and responsive to their cries for help. Generosity should be a central activity of the followers of Jesus to reveal God and who he is to the world. Our generosity is to remind people of God's generosity. Our generous forgiveness to those who fail us. Generous giving to those in need. Generous kindness to those who are struggling with life. And generous welcome to those who are without a place in the world is nothing more than a reflection of the generous love of God that has been expressed to us. But the only way that we can do this is if we are empowered by the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 to 6 says this: "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all them and in everyone, it is the same God at work." Now, if you're someone who follows the church calendar, today is what's called Pentecost Sunday. And it's a recognition of another incredibly generous gift from God, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God living in every believer to guide and empower us to live this type of generous, abundant life. Coming up in a couple weeks, on June 18th, we are joining with other churches in Truro to bless our neighborhood. We're being part of something called Love Your Neighbor. And it's just an opportunity for us to go out into our community and demonstrate the generosity of God to all kinds of different people. And I want to challenge you and encourage you to sign up and be part of this. We're going to have all kinds of different events going on in the town on that day, ways that you can serve your community that you can sign up for, and that sign up is going to be linked in the description box below. But it's also an opportunity for us to just come together and pour out some love on our town. A couple things to note about it. Once you fill out the sign up form, someone will contact you. We're also going to have a worship time before, the weekend before, and following that day on the 18th, we're going to have a time of worship at Groundswell to kind of wrap it all up. And I just want to challenge you and encourage you to participate, to be a part of this, to show unity to our town by working with other churches, to show generosity, because God showed so much generosity to us that our only possible response can be to extend generosity to others. And it's also just a great way for us to come together and be unified in the work of God in our town. And so I want to encourage you in that. Click the link in the description box below and sign up to join in for Love Your Neighbor. It's going to be a great opportunity for us to show our generosity, the generosity of God through us to our community. And so as we close today, I just want us to just rest in knowing the generosity that has been extended to us from this incredible host, our God, the creator of the universe, who has given us so much abundance. There is so much abundance that we just don't even tap into because we are stuck in this scarcity mentality that God, it cannot be trusted, but he can be trusted. He has given us so many good gifts in Jesus, in the gift of the Holy Spirit, and he continues to want to pour out his blessing and abundance on us today. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to have everything that we could ever want, but we will have all that we need, and we do not need to hoard it and hold it to ourselves. He's given us abundance so that we can pour it out on other people, an abundance of love and grace and mercy and joy and peace, and we can pour that out on the people around us and demonstrate God's goodness and his love to every person we encounter. Let's pray together. Lord, we just want to thank you so much for today, for your word, for the way that it challenges us, and this reminder today of just how incredibly generous you have been to us. And so, Lord, I pray for each and every person watching that this reminder of your abundance, of your generosity, of the way that you want to pour out just overflowing amounts of your love and your joy and your peace and your grace and your mercy onto us so that it can flow to other people, and that more people will see you and who you are through our actions, through us, through our extending generosity to the people around us in whatever way, shape, or form we do, Lord, that it would be an example of your goodness, of your love for people, and that it would draw more people to you because they see you for who you truly are. So Lord, would you challenge us? Would you help us to see ways that we can grow in our generosity, because we are acknowledging the most incredible, generous gift that you have given to us, the gift of your Son, the gift of your Holy Spirit that leads and empowers us each and every day to live a more generous life. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. Just reminder, click the link in the description box. Sign up to join us for Love Your Neighbor on June 18th. It's going to be a great time. And if we can be praying for you, please email us at prayer@groundswellchurch.ca. Our team would love to be praying for you this week. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you next Sunday.